It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Two House committees are working this hour, getting a first crack at this GOP health care proposal. The Democrat strategy appears to be trying to delay it, hoping that will be enough to ultimately stop it.
I said to you that I would like to make a motion to postpone the markup for 30 days. I don't understand why that is not in order at this time.
I move to table the motion, if it is a motion.
Do we have it? Where is it? Can your staff provide it for us?
Yes.
When did we receive it?
Mr. Chairman, you were trying to rush this bill.
Some resistance from Democrats on the Republican effort to scrap and replace Obamacare.
You're afraid of sunshine. And we will insist that it be spotlighted. And the public is going to react, I assure you.
Let's not rewrite history here. You claim you had a CBO estimate. You did not. You had a letter. And it wasn't even based on the bill. It was based on specifications by a three-committee working group.
Ways and Means Chairman Kevin Brady tried to keep moving forward.
The most important thing for all Americans to know is that we will ensure our fiscally responsible legislation meets all the reconciliation instructions before it reaches the House floor.
Democrats took the opportunity to take swipes at the bill and even President Trump.
What this bill needs is some extreme vetting. We're being asked to vote without knowing how much it costs and without knowing what size it is.
The White House budget director predicted the Congressional Budget Office will weigh in soon.
The only question about the CBO, is it going to be really good or is it going to be great when that number finally comes out? I think it's going to be on Monday.
Although the White House press secretary notes CBO has been wrong on health care before.
If you're looking at the CBO for accuracy, you're looking in the wrong place. I mean, they were way, way off last time in every aspect of how they scored and projected Obamacare.
Well, that's the first part of the report by Mike Emanuel on Fox News last night. I don't even know where to start. Paul Ryan saying that the CBO estimate is either going to be really good or really great. Wow. You know, this is a very complex situation because most people want Obamacare gone, repealed, gone. It's been a nightmare. Out of us, out of our lives, out of our, you know, stop forcing us. But the Republican leadership, who somehow find their courage on these things, it's amazing how fiercely they fight on this kind of thing. But they're fighting for something that is, it's a bait and switch. They are not fully repealing Obamacare. That is a lie. And the replacement is just as bad, some will argue, as Obamacare. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about it at length. Now, it is complex because you have the Democrats obstructing, so it appears as though, and it is true, that they don't want Donald Trump to have a win on this because he campaigned on repealing Obamacare immediately. But the problem is it's been twisted into something that was never intended. And many people feel that if President Trump, who is pushing this, because he's being assured by Paul Ryan that this is a fabulous bill. What's to see here? It's really, the CBO score is going to be either really good or really great. So the cost of this is going to be phenomenal. Just don't worry. It's fabulous. And Paul Ryan's also saying he has the votes. Well, does he? I'm not so sure. So we're going to talk about that this morning in a little bit. But I want to get to some other things. In addition to that, first, last night, Catherine Herridge brought us an update a little bit on that NSA and the WikiLeaks and the FBI, and we have to keep tracking that, too. Let's listen.
A U.S. government official tells Fox News that the FBI has launched a criminal investigation after WikiLeaks posted more than 8,000 documents allegedly from the CIA cyber unit. While the White House would neither confirm nor deny authenticity, spokesman Sean Spicer said there appears to be a double standard.
The interest and the outrage that occurred last year by a lot of Democrats when it came to leaks is interesting that we're hearing not as much outrage now when it comes to some of our issues of national security.
Among the revelations that Apple's iPhone was the target of so-called zero-day programs that exploit previously unknown weaknesses, allowing the CIA to capture audio and video recordings as well as extract user data and contacts. Apple said in a statement, quote, "While our initial analysis indicates that many of the issues leaked today were already patched in the latest iOS, we will continue work to rapidly address any identified vulnerabilities." Former intelligence officials and cybersecurity experts said the preliminary evidence points to an insider and the likelihood government contractors were involved with the support of a third party.
I can say that the ability to do this can be attributed to maybe four or five bad actors. Russia, China, perhaps a large organized criminal group, but this is a sophisticated actor.
All right, so that's the first part of Catherine's report. Boy, I have a lot to tell you, but let's listen to the second part and I'll go there. Let's listen.
Emphasizing cyber spying tools are not turned on U.S. citizens, former director Michael Hayden defended the CIA on late night television.
I can tell you that these tools would not be used against an American.
Why not? Why wouldn't they be used against an American? Americans are the ones who buy the Samsung TVs.
There are some bad people in the world who have Samsung TVs, too.
Right.
And so NSA develops tools, CIA develops tools that we can use.
Now those secrets have apparently been spilled by WikiLeaks, the same group that posted former NSA contractor Edward Snowden's stolen records that exposed government surveillance. Russia recently extended Snowden's asylum.
Two of the most important eyes of the intelligence community have been degraded, and it means that we have to refocus and continue to rebuild and be able to understand what our adversaries are trying to hide from us.
A former intelligence official said some leaked documents are from last fall and not beyond, indicating the breach had stopped. Fox News has learned tonight that a CIA memo directs employees not to discuss the leaks or view the documents online.
All right, so let me just give you a little bit of information here. My understanding from people who know is that the CIA was never tasked with doing this kind of invasive surveillance, that this all developed under James Clapper. No, under, yes, I'm just going, who's the head of the CIA? I'll tell you in just a second. John Brennan, I'm always talking to you about him. He's the one that I mentioned and will mention again, said to the Congressional Black Caucus in an open meeting with them that, laughing about how he had voted for the Communist Party candidate for president in 1980. And so he was concerned about his polygraph and about, you know, applying to the CIA, but ha, 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 he got in, and now he's the head of the CIA. And then he said to them, so don't worry so much about your background, what you've been involved in, who you've been associated with, you know, go ahead, apply. So under John Brennan's leadership with the CIA, we've had so many major leaks. Edward Snowden, and now we've had this leak. And we've also had this big shop set up, according to sources, where they have developed a sophisticated way of invading phones, Samsung televisions, and you've been hearing the reports. This all happened under CIA, which is not their, that's not their mission. So the question is, why? What was the CIA doing? And we have 16 intelligence agencies. The NSA is the one who really does this kind of thing. So what was CIA doing developing their own little special shop with their own special technicians who had been, you know, we can only assume, and I was told actually, yesterday we heard Fred Flights is a former CIA analyst, that under John Brennan, the vetting for employees just plummeted. And so we've had these leaks. So why has the vetting plummeted? And who were these people that got in who heard, you know, similar statements, I'm sure, as John Brennan made to the Black Caucus? Hey, listen, I voted for the communist candidate in 1980. Now I'm the head of the CIA, ha, 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 you know, nothing to see here. And we also know that John Brennan has been the strongest partisan for Barack Obama, probably, of any position, as much of a shill for President Obama as anyone. And we have reason to believe that he was involved in surveilling the Trump campaign. All right, so when you hear pundits say, and when you hear news reporters laugh about it, there's nothing there. I heard Joe Scarborough say something else. Trust me, there's something here. The problem is that if congressmen stop to take this seriously, what then? They would be forced to actually do something. So it's better to go, no, 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 you know, nothing to see here. Oh, that's silly. Nothing here. There is something here. And as a matter of fact, just to follow up on that, James Comey spoke at Boston College at a conference yesterday and said, basically, you're stuck with me for another 6.5 years. And the issue with Comey, and it has been a mystery, hasn't it? Well, some are speculating that the reason that Comey made his very strange announcement in regard to Hillary Clinton when she was in the middle of the campaign or almost to the end, maybe last spring, early summer, and how it talked about how she was careless, but and she laid out the case for how badly she'd handled her classified information and then said no charges would be brought. The speculation is that at that time, James Comey and others in the administration who were, just shall we say, friendly to Obama policies and leftist policies, thought Mrs. Clinton was going to win, hands down. So they had to show that, you know, had to show that they had some sort of all of the terrible things that actually we have not even heard because there aren't any investigations into the Clinton Foundation. As far as I know, there may be some investigations, but, you know, have you heard anything? Now, they don't talk about that, but they do talk to the New York Times, the FBI, about please make it public that there's no wiretapping. There has been no wiretapping of the Trump campaign, none, you know. So they whisper that to the New York Times, but they don't make a public statement because, honestly, I don't think it's true. So, but they can't say anything about any investigations into the Clinton Foundation, which is egregious, horrible. So back to the point. Could it be possible that James Comey, along with others in Washington, the leadership, the elite, the ones in power, felt that Mrs. Clinton was going to win? And so, you know, I'm just going to come out and cover, you know, the whatever of the FBI here and act as though, you know, hey, we're watching this because all this terrible stuff was coming out, but we're doing nothing about it. And then when Mrs. Clinton wins, there'll be no investigation into all of this stuff, nothing to worry about. And then suddenly, bait and switch, Donald Trump wins, and then what do? So then they come out and they start an investigation against Donald Trump. Now, some said perhaps that was to prove that they were unbiased about Mrs. Clinton. I think it's a mixed bag, but I heard people say, I have heard them say that they feel that James Comey has become a very dangerous person. And I don't disagree. These are people who would know. So the president could still dismiss him for cause. He doesn't have to stay on. He did say he would keep him on for the 10-year term, but he doesn't have to. He could change his mind, and actually, I hope he will. I want to correct something I said yesterday because it's important, and I try to make sure that I'm as clear as I can be and as factual as I can be. I mentioned to you Foreign Policy Magazine published a piece by Rosa Brooks, who was a former Obama administration official who wrote this whole thing on how to get rid of a Trump, and she includes a military coup, declaring him mentally unfit, and she goes through this whole thing, and I said that she was going to be hired in the Trump administration. I was wrong about that. General Mattis has not hired Rosa Brooks, but he endorsed her book, which is a leftist claptrap. She worked for George Soros, and General Mattis, Mad Dog Mattis, evidently likes what she says, and he endorsed her book. He is not, as far as I know, hiring her, so That was a mistake, and I want to make sure I clarify. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Daniel Horowitz, who really is the ultimate technician on this new healthcare bill. And I want you to hear what Daniel has to say, and we're gonna have a good tutorial. So take out your pen and pencil, and let's look. This is important. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
You know, if you see a huge group of people and they're all in line waiting to do something and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? What are these people excited about? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. It's growing like crazy because it works. Think about it. You don't have to deal with health insurance companies anymore or government health insurance. Instead, you're part of something you believe in. You're part of a community of people supporting each other, and you can save so much money. This could be the answer you're looking for, and it may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? Find out more. Don't miss out. Call 855-PSALM-23. Now, it's available everywhere but Montana. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
American Family Radio, equipping you to change the culture.
My name is Teresa. I own a taxi business. I drive all day long. I pick up people, take them to the doctor all day long. One day I climbed into my van, and I never even knew this radio station existed, and it was just on. And I believe with all my heart that God put it on the radio for me. I am a witness for the Lord. I have had lots of opportunity to lead people to the Lord. Listening to your station only gives me more confidence. I have followed in faith by opening this company, and AFR just really lifts me up in spirit and lets me know that I'm doing the right thing. Just encourages me and my clients.
Your partnership makes a difference. Join us for our three-day share-a-thon starting April 4th. American Family Radio, boldly standing for truth for your family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
Ruth Neely has been a municipal judge in Pinedale, Wyoming for more than two decades now. She has a spotless record, a reputation around town as a fair and impartial judge. Back in 2014, a local newspaper interviewed her for a story regarding gay marriage. Judge Neely is a devout Lutheran, and she told the reporter she believes marriage to be one man and one woman. She went on to say she would not preside over same-sex marriages. The judge was brought up on charges accused of violating the state code of judicial conduct. Activists demanded she be removed from the bench. The Wyoming Supreme Court this week decided to keep Judge Neely on the bench, but they also publicly censured the judge. They said the case had nothing to do with gay marriage, but in fact it has everything to do with gay marriage. And that's what this case is about. Either pledge your allegiance to the LGBT agenda or pay the price. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Congressman, this is sort of old as the hills as it goes in Congress. We always knew when they were trying to pass something by us because they drafted in secret, they drop it, say we're going to sign it, mark it up in committee tomorrow, and then we're going to vote on it next week. I mean, that's
going to vote on it. They may vote on it today.
This is no way to not only pass health care, but any legislation, especially legislation you call Obamacare light. What are you going to do to stop it?
Well, look, you're right. It came out 36 hours ago, and they're going to mark it up and vote on it in committee today. And the American people have only seen it for 36 hours. their representatives have only seen it for 36 hours. So let's do this right. And more importantly, let's do what we told the voters we're going to do. That's why today I'll be introducing legislation which just says clean repeal. Let's vote on the exact same thing 15 months ago. Every single Republican in the House, every single Republican in the Senate voted on. We put it on President Obama's desk. Of course, he vetoed it. But let's put that same legislation on President Trump's desk and then work on the replacement model that will actually bring down that cost of insurance. I don't think the plan they introduced yesterday is going to bring down the cost for working class and middle class families.
Yes, I'm here. That was Morning Joe with Jim Jordan, finding his voice. You know, where has Jim Jordan been? Honestly, he's been working behind the scenes, but So many people have wanted Congressman Jordan to be the Speaker of the House, and he's a family man. He's been reluctant, but he's kind of finding his voice on this. In fact, that was Morning Joe. So let's listen to the next clip, then we'll introduce Daniel.
So, Congressman, how many conservative members do you think you have with you? Obviously, Heritage is on your side. Freedom Works is on your side. How many conservative Republicans do you have with you right now?
Every conservative group out there is opposed to this legislation because, as I said yesterday and others have said, I think it's Obamacare in a different form. Because we didn't tell the voters we were going to repeal Obamacare but keep some of the Obamacare taxes. We didn't tell the voters we were going to repeal Obamacare but keep and extend Medicaid expansion. And we certainly didn't tell the voters we were going to repeal Obamacare but start a new entitlement,
Does it pass if it goes on the floor?
I don't think it could pass today. I mean, we had our meeting last night with the House Freedom Caucus, and the opposition in there was strong to this legislation. So this needs to be changed in a dramatic way for it to have a chance to pass, in my judgment. But the simplest thing to do is what unites Republicans. Pass the clean repeal. We all just voted for that a few months ago. And again, this is what Americans hate. We campaign on one thing, and then we get here and say, oh, we can't do what we campaigned on. We really can't do a clean repeal and then replace it with something that's going to bring down the cost. We got to mush it all together and do some different form of Obamacare. That's what the American voters hate. Let's do what we told them we were going to do. Let's do what they sent us here to do and what they expect us to do.
Go Congressman Jordan, but it isn't that simple. And I've asked Daniel Horowitz to join us. Daniel, of course, is a good friend. Often on the show, he is the senior editor at the Conservative Review, which is Mark Levin's organization. Daniel's an author in his own right, but he is a really trusted source and has been for a long time parsing the details of so many complex issues. And so I've asked him to join us this morning. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, great to be with you.
It's great to have you always. And Daniel, let's go backwards here. What happened last night? At 4 o'clock this morning, they passed something. So since we all slept, something actually happened.
Sure. So, it's kind of interesting. They weren't in a rush to repeal Obamacare. You know, this is what we were asking for, that the minute you come in January with a new president, you get on his desk, the first week you're never going to get more political capital and just repeal it. But somehow, in order to do bait and switch, which is not repeal it and not replace it, but tweak it in a bunch of convoluted ways, somehow that requires us to just have a national emergency, introduce it Monday, get it to committee on Tuesday, and then they voted it out of committee late at night.
So they're doing exactly what the Democrats did when they passed Obamacare.
Oh, of course. But again, it's not surprising that they do the same tactics because it is Obamacare. Yeah, I want to tweak some people saying that, and I know they mean well, when they call this Obamacare Lite or Obamacare 2.0. That's not accurate. It doesn't repeal Obamacare. This is the first point. The foundation. Nothing else matters after this.
We're just gonna have a free form conversation here. Here's the thing. People are asking right now. They're listening to you. They're asking, well, why would Paul Ryan and the Republican leadership want to pass another form of Obamacare? Surely they wouldn't do this because Paul Ryan, you know, kept saying, and so did, I'm sure, the leadership when they were campaigning, we're going to repeal Obamacare immediately. And they passed a bill, as you said, a few years ago. They passed it all through the House. They passed it in the Senate. It went to the president's desk to repeal Obamacare. Why would they suddenly want to pass a bill that was like Obamacare?
Because these people are bald-faced liars. And it's been a source of much consternation for many of us over the last 5 years. You know, I was heavily involved in primary challenges. And the big problem we always had is that the Democrats lie, but they lie for their goals. They lie to achieve their goals. Republicans lie for the other side's goals, except the way they do their lies is they run on our kind of macro talking points. But then the details never match up with it. So this is nothing new to me, and I'm not trying to gloat here and say, oh, I see, I told you so, but we knew they would never repeal it because we knew in Washington they would always say this stuff, that they're going to keep the regulatory structure, they're going to keep the exchange, they're just going to tweak the individual mandate and the taxes, which is just the funding mechanism of Obamacare, not Obamacare itself. But they'd go out on the campaign trail, and Mitch McConnell would say, we're going to repeal it root and branch. And you know, here's the sick irony. They would get all the money from the lobbyists at K Street in the chamber, whose official position was, by the way, to fix Obamacare, so to speak, not to repeal it. But they'd use the money to run on our view of full repeal in order to box out primary challenges so we couldn't replace them. And they would accuse us of tearing down the majority and you have unrealistic expectations. Wait until we get the White House and we're going to do this. And we always knew that if we didn't have the right people, even if we had the White House, they wouldn't repeal it. And here's where we are today.
Well, and in proof of that is this is exactly what they did with immigration. They ran in primary saying that we need to tighten our enforce our immigration laws, and then they got in and did exactly the opposite. Paul Ryan is one of the chief abusers of that. He's the one that went around the country campaigning with Luis Gutierrez, who is left of the left. So there are concrete examples that people can see of how they Mitch McConnell. How many times did he say, he campaigned himself. He barely won his Senate. Well, he won a Senate race pretty handily by lying, really, about his position, then got in and didn't do what was right. So they're doing the very same thing they have done repeatedly. Daniel, I don't really think we need to convince people, but it is really an amazing thing. And now it's more complicated because you here have a president who campaigned on repealing Obamacare right away. And right now, Paul Ryan and the leadership have his ear. I'd love your thoughts about how that happened.
Well, again, I mean, you know where I stood during the election. I mean, none of this surprises me about Trump. But, I mean, to put it a little softer, Trump, healthcare is not exactly his thing. I mean, healthcare is complicated. The semantics of what Obamacare is and isn't seems to be complicated to some people. And then the budget reconciliation process is complicated. So you put those three together, and there's a lot of room for people who want to mislead to do so. And that's what they're doing to Trump. And they're basically telling him, look, this is the only way to repeal it, and this is what we have to do. And if you're not going to do this, then we're not going to repeal it. But the reality is this doesn't repeal it. It keeps it. So the whole thing is semantics. There'd be one thing if they repealed it, but then, they replaced it with some subsidies, some Medicaid expansion, but the regulations and the exchanges were gone, then you can negotiate. Here, there's nothing to negotiate. Also, you mentioned something interesting. I've been making a lot of comparisons to the Gang of Eight. That was the last time I saw this degree of lying to conservatives, except I think this time we've surpassed it. What they do is they start from a heaping pile of you-know-what. I mean, something where it is as far from what is truthful as our ways are as far from God's ways. You know, Isaiah 55:9. There is no way to bridge that gap. But then they say, all right, this is not perfect, but let's negotiate from here. It's like, I'll say, Sandy, we're going to raise taxes to 90%. It's not perfect, but we'll negotiate from there. You can't start with that. Just like you can't negotiate with the Gang of Eight. You can't negotiate with this. It accepts the diametrically opposed philosophy on healthcare that we've been running on for 6 years.
Just to enforce what you're saying, as though you needed it, there's an interesting article, an interview with Senator Rand Paul, who's been a vocal opponent of this, and this is what he says. I don't think it makes any sense. I think Paul Ryan's trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the president. I think when I've spoken with President Trump, I think he agrees with me that we should repeal and replace, but I don't think he's stuck on what they have to be in the same bill necessarily. Paul Ryan, I think, is selling it to the White House and telling the White House, oh, it's a piece of cake, it's a done deal. And I don't think that's an accurate depiction of things. And it goes on and on. So Senator Rand Paul has gone on record saying that he thinks that Paul Ryan is trying to pull the wool over the eyes of the president. That's a pretty major charge, isn't it, Daniel, from a sitting senator?
Well, I'll go a step further. He's a dastardly liar. He is. I have never seen such a liar. And the reason why I say that is this. There's a lot of members that I've spoken to that genuinely do not understand healthcare. They don't understand free markets. They don't understand what Obamacare is and isn't. Paul Ryan absolutely does understand that. And until now, the last couple of months, what they've been doing is talking. They've been taking on the premise of the other side, focusing on bean counting coverage numbers instead of lowering prices. what ironically, what, when you pursue coverage numbers at the expense of lowering prices, you achieve neither. That's why they were embarrassed that it comes out now that they're not even achieving coverage numbers, and a lot of people are going to be dumped. But then they're not going to lower prices at all, and in fact, they're going to go up. So Paul Ryan then goes out and says, you know, you're right. I don't want to talk about coverage numbers. We're lowering prices. That is a demonstrably false statement, because the reason why premiums went up is not because of the individual mandate. It's not because of the taxes. Taxes had nothing to do with health care. It was on payroll and investment income. The reason they went up were because of the community rating and the guaranteed issue forcing insurance companies to take insurance out of insurance. Actuarially insolvent regulations, they remain in place. Prices will not come down. He needs to explain what he means, how in the world prices will come down. And I'll add one more point. If you keep Obamacare, but you take away the individual mandate, you and I don't believe in individual mandate. But if you're going to have socialism, you need it, because if you take it away, all the healthy people will leave the failed system because prices won't come down, and you'll have adverse selection, and it will go up even more. And we'll get blamed for it.
Daniel, there's so much to talk about, but I don't want to assume here. Will you be able to stay with me a little bit longer if we take a commercial break?
Absolutely.
Okay, well then I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, and because I don't want to leave out anything. What I want to do is talk about, you offer positive solutions, and you offer a 10-point plan. We want to talk about that. I also want to talk about I started down this path, but I want to go back to this, because Donald Trump has been persuaded, at least we think, by Paul Ryan, that this is the best thing since sliced bread. It's a done deal, can pass in the House. And so now pressure is being brought to bear on people like Dave Brett, Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, people that we respect, men who've laid their careers really on the line for this. I could see this thing going really badly, because as you have already alluded to, you've worked in the primaries, you know how the leadership works, how they target people that oppose them. I think these men are going to be targeted if they don't support this bill. Your thoughts about that?
Oh, no, absolutely. And they target us in the language of our voters. So they're actually saying our people are opposing repeal of Obamacare. Can you imagine how counterintuitive that is? We're the ones that are holding the line that they promised for 6 years just to repeal Obamacare. They're saying now that, so at the same time they're saying, no, we are repealing it. Then when we catch them on it, on the other side of the mouth, they say, well, Daniel, you can't do it through the budget reconciliation process. So first of all, that's not true, but which one is it? And then they go into the primaries and say, you're a member of Congress, voted against repealing Obamacare. These guys lie through their teeth. It's sickening.
Yes, and now they'll have, if they continue to persuade Donald Trump that that's the correct perspective on this, then you're going to have all the good, the 40, I'm just guessing, I'm arbitrarily picking a figure, 40 really good, steadfast members of Congress in a fight for their lives in their primaries. If President Trump and the leadership bring the K Street and Chamber of Commerce money down on them, it's really, they're really sticking their necks out. So the Patriots are going to be cast as the rebels, the people that won't, as you just said, repeal Obamacare. How terrible of them. And that's exactly what's going to happen. So, Daniel, we have to have some recourse here. There is pushback, not only from your wonderful writing, because I think you probably have done as extensive a writing on this as anyone, but there are groups, Heritage Action, Freedom Works, although that's, we're going to talk about that, and other conservative groups who are openly opposing this. They met with the White House yesterday. In fact, do you know anything about that meeting?
You know, I honestly don't, but okay. I can't imagine any good came out of it.
Well, all right, we'll continue when we come back, because let's break this down and see if we can make it understandable. People are taking our word for it right now, Daniel, because they trust me. A lot of them do. Some of them hate me, but a lot of people, and they trust you now because you've been my guest a lot, but it's still confusing. So let's see if we can break it down so that they can understand what our real objections are about this. This is Sandy Rios along with Daniel Horowitz of Conservative Review. We'll be back right after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa,
the numbers of new cases and deaths are still rising.
International relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering.
We can't say we're Samaritan's Purse and not help.
My phone rang. One of our doctors, Kent Brantley, has Ebola.
And then David looked at me and he said, "You too have Ebola."
We're there to save life. We're there in your name. Why?
Despite the fact that things were out of control, we knew that God was in control.
God puts you in places and supplies the strength to deal with.
Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to facingdarknessmovie.com. That's facingdarknessmovie.com.
Exploring the Word is all about Jesus, because Jesus is on every page of the Bible, but sometimes people don't see him.
Bert Harper of Exploring the Word.
So we're taking a microscope and finding Jesus in each book of the Bible. He's there. And Alex and myself on Exploring the Word, we're going to try to bring that out, and it will be a blessing.
Join Bert and Alex each weekday at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Don't let the name fool you. Disney is no friend of the family. And with their latest effort to push the LGBT agenda upon children, that's been proven once again. Disney has now introduced gay and lesbian kissing in one of its most popular cartoons, Star vs. the Forces of Evil, on the Disney XD channel. The scene featured several gay and lesbian couples kissing and also featured transgender characters in this children's cartoon. But Disney isn't stopping there. The new Disney film, Beauty and the Beast, which hits theaters later this month, will feature a gay character and what the film's director describes as a, quote, a nice exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie, unquote. Will we allow Disney to teach our children that homosexuality is natural? Who will mold your children and grandchildren, Disney or the Word of God? This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. WikiLeaks' latest devastating compromises of secret U.S. intelligence capabilities prompt three observations. First, other spy agencies, including Russia's and China's, can also tap our smartphones, televisions, and the myriad wired devices meant to comprise the emerging so-called Internet of Things. Second, such interconnectedness can be exploited not just to spy on us, but to take down our society. We must now protect both our electric grid against such a societal kill shot and all the high-tech gear that electricity enables to enhance our standard of living and increasingly to sustain life itself in 21st century America. Third, WikiLeaks' revelation that this sort of hacking can be disguised to look like others did it upends official assertions that Russian hackers interfered with our election. Will we ever know whether Team Obama's deep state was doing some of that too? This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
It would put in place policies that will bring back affordable insurance. That's the big problem right now. If people can afford the premiums, they can't afford the deductibles. Fewer choices, higher cost is what Obamacare has given us. We want those policies like expanded health savings accounts, interstate shopping, easier formation of association health plans, tax deductibility on the individual market side so that you begin to equalize treatment for folks who get their insurance as in the individual market with those who get employer-sponsored plan insurance. So that's what we want to do. Those kind of things will will bring down the cost. And most importantly, you get at all the regulations which drove up the cost of insurance. Never forget what Obamacare did. It said mandates, taxes, and regulations drove up the cost of insurance, told every American you have to buy it, and if you don't, there's a penalty. That's what we have to get away from.
That was Congressman Jim Jordan finding his voice on this, and I'm happy about that, I have to say. I wish he would step forward, because people really respect Congressman Jordan, and he would be a great leader. He was, you know, many people talked about him to take Paul Ryan's place, and oh, that he had. Sandy Rios back with you. Daniel Horowitz is my guest. Daniel with Conservative Review, the senior editor, and really one of the biggest, one of the best experts in Washington, D.C. on the healthcare issue. All right, so Daniel, you heard Jim just now talk about what they would like. I'm sure you've had conversations with the Freedom Caucus a lot. They're talking about the same things that you are suggesting, are they not?
No, absolutely. So what you're referring to is, I've been meaning to do this for years, but yesterday, thanks to my staff for formatting it, we put together a list of 20 free market healthcare ideas, free markets for free people, how to put affordable and care back in healthcare. And half of them are on the supply side of healthcare, because remember, health insurance is not healthcare. And then half of them are on health insurance ideas. And the main gist of it, this is not full of stats and figures and statistics. I'm going to have a lot more coming out on each idea, you know, in the future. This is more to give an outline of why. Why is it that in America, where we're so used to choice, competition, Uber, Southwest Airlines, Amazon, Walmart, innovation, why is it that this is the one sector that missed the technological revolution, the internet information revolution, and functions more like a mini bar and a hotel room? And everywhere you look, it's a government regulation, intervention, and the forces of the status quo in the big pharma profession working with government. We call it venture socialism, using the boot of government for the incumbent, just like you have incumbency in politics, they have incumbency in business, that they are the source of the problem. So you have to understand why we are here, and based on that, I map out a solution. A lot of them have to be done on a state basis when it comes to regulating health care itself on the supply side, but a lot of the insurance things are the result of government. So we don't need repeal and replace. We need what I call repeal and repeal. Repeal Obamacare, that has to be done immediately. And you can't tether it to anything more, because all these things are very complex, and we need to have a debate on each of these items, even the ones I agree to. But repeal has to be done. Then you look at repealing even the pre-Obamacare market-distorting things that made healthcare very unideal before Obamacare. Repeal many aspects of HIPAA and EMTALA and the antitrust exemption that health insurance gets and nobody else gets, and many of the things Congressman Jordan mentioned, but I actually explain how they cumulatively have a compounding effect of creating more innovation, lowering costs, portability, cost consciousness, which creates a circuitous cycle of downward pressure rather than the death spiral of regulations and subsidies that we have now, and that Rhino Care continues.
All right, let me just say, the article that Daniel's talking about, 20 Ideas to Crush Obamacare and Cure America's Healthcare Crisis, we will put on our Facebook page so that you can read it. These are positive suggestions, and they are being embraced by the Freedom Caucus. And so you'll hear them talk about some of this stuff. But, Daniel, let's go back to this. Now, one, you know, I'm hard-pressed to explain. I get generalities, but I'm not in the weeds on this. But this part, this really alarmed me. This is just one avenue. According to Terry Jeffries, who used to write for Human Events, the plan to repeal and replace Obamacare unveiled by House Republican leaders on Monday orders insurance companies to charge people 30% more in premiums for a full year if they did not have insurance for 63 days or more in the previous year. So you let your coverage drop. Maybe you have an emergency in the family that's not medical, and yet maybe you don't have the money, maybe something happens, you let it lapse for 63 days or more, and the next year, the insurance companies will slap on 30% more for your premiums in the next year. What is this? This is, talk about that, Daniel. Why is that so bad?
It's Obamacare. It's government-run health care that we railed against. But I think you need a preface to this. The individual mandate, or this is just the replacement of the, it's a backdoor individual mandate, is the second step. Why do you need to force people into the system? Because it's a heaping pile of stuff you can't mention on the radio. Because they're keeping the regs and the subsidies that distort and inflate the price. So therefore, if they wouldn't have the penalty, healthy people would flee it. In other words, you're going to say, Daniel, isn't that the fatal flaw of Obamacare? Yes. And that's what I mean when I say it's a dastardly lie when they say they repealed it. Meaning you could theoretically repeal Obamacare and then replace it with something that's unideal for conservatives. And we could have that debate. But this is much worse. It doesn't repeal the meat and potatoes of Obamacare. You're going to hear them talking about repealing the taxes. That's nice. I don't like taxes. That's tax policy. That does nothing to do with the health care disaster.
So in other words, under Obamacare, people are forced to buy it. But under this new version of Paul Ryan's care, they aren't going to be forced to buy it. But if they let the coverage lapse, the insurance companies will get to charge them 30% more for their premiums the next year. I mean, that's a tax, but it's just not a tax. It's not going to government. It's going to the insurance companies, which makes me wonder, you know, who is it on K Street and Chamber of Commerce who stands to gain from this, Daniel?
Well, you know, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and, you know, Mike Lee, the Freedom Caucus members, weren't in the room. But you know who was in the room? The people who donate to their campaigns and allow them to put on ads saying that they're going to fully repeal Obamacare when they're getting that money, precisely because they're not going to repeal it. That is the key. Obamacare is, right now, insurance companies don't have to cater to a consumer demand. Consumers are cut out of the equation. They negotiate with the government within the narrow confines of regulations and subsidies. So you're regulated in the sense you can't innovate, you can't offer anything, but then you have a guaranteed stream of income from the subsidies. So there is no ability or desire to negotiate with the consumers. When you keep that structure, which this absolutely keeps until 2020, and then after 2020, the regs are still there, the subsidies are just a bait and switch for new subsidies, the prices will never come down. So that's why you're going to need some form of an individual mandate to lock people in the system. Otherwise, you have the death spiral, which, by the way, you're going to have before 2020. What's really going to happen is long before 2020, when this is fully implemented, you're going to have a death spiral, but this time it's going to be blamed on the repeal, ironically, of Obamacare. We're going to get blamed for it, and you're going to have a massive bailout for the insurance industry, and that's why they signed on to this.
Okay, so back to Paul Ryan. Because we need to go back to Paul Ryan. One of the missing points here, and it's a huge factor, Republicans always brag about paying for things and, you know, smaller government, et cetera. Of course, Paul Ryan, none of his policies have implemented small government. He says it, but he doesn't do it. He implements these very large plans, but I digress. So the Congressional Budget Office always scores bills so that people will know where they are, whether they want, based on dollars and cents, if they want to vote yes or no. So the CBO had scored Obamacare and really, you know, lowballed it, I have to say. But they haven't even scored this. And yet Paul Ryan said, I just heard him this morning say, I heard a clip, saying that when we hear from CBO, I can't wait to hear from them because the numbers are either going to be really good or they're going to be really great. The scoring. What?
It's funny because everyone else is preemptively bashing CBO because they know it's going to be a disaster. Here's the deal. And CBO has hinted to this. They have said this over the past few months. If you keep the price hiking regulations and the market distorting subsidies, and the budgetary, you know, the budget deficit of the subsidies, but then you take away the funding mechanism, which is the taxes and the individual mandate. Now, you and I don't like taxes and mandates, but if you're going to have the system of regs and subsidies, you need those two to somewhat prop it up. What this does is it keeps the it. What's the it? The regulations and the subsidies, but takes away the funding mechanism. You're going to get a horrible score from CBO, and that's why they're preemptively trashing it.
So, all right. So, we only have a few minutes left. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, this is really an amazing story. And they're trying to push it through so quickly. Now they have Donald Trump going out on the stump, and he is, you know, according to Rand Paul, being having the wool pulled over his eyes by Paul Ryan. What? How do you see this happening, Paul? I mean, Daniel, do you think that do the conservatives have his ear, you think?
No, they absolutely do not. But I do think there's a middle ground here. The best thing to do is what I lay out, a real full repeal and then 20 free market ideas that actually get government out of the way, actually keep the promise. Sadly, that's not on the menu. You can't put something in the heart of a non-believer. If they don't believe in it, I mean, they just, we could bash something bad and block it and burn it down, but how do you force them to do what's right? And this has always been the problem on almost everything. How do you force a party that doesn't believe in marriage and religious liberty and traditional values but campaigns on it, how do you force them to act? It's very hard. The best we can do is block bad stuff. So what's ultimately going to happen is probably a stalemate. Our stuff doesn't go through, their stuff doesn't go through, and nothing happens. And I am not happy about that, but it is better for the Democrats to own the death spiral based on Obamacare than to have the death spiral blamed on the so-called repeal of Obamacare that didn't repeal it.
Daniel, people are saying, of course, that Obamacare is dying. If you were to predict, how soon would that happen, where it would really implode and just be gone?
I would say within 12 to 24 months, because basically what you have now is 70% of the counties have one or two insurers left. There's actually 42 counties in eastern Tennessee that do not have insurers. So when these people get up there and say, well, at least it benefited people with pre-existing conditions, subsidies don't mean anything if there's no insurers around. And that's the deal. Humana said they're gone. Aetna hinted that they're going to be gone, and then you're just going to have a monopoly with the Blues, Blue Cross Blue Shield. So we're done. I mean, in 12 to 24 months, I'd say this is over with. And then at that point, we'll just have to implement the 20-point plan, and I think we'll have an easier time because there's no counter-argument. Well, you're taking away something. There won't be anything to take away.
Okay, Daniel, I can't let you go without asking you now that the Freedom Caucus has, I believe, about 40 members, but we also know that sometimes they get peeled off. Mick Mulvaney, who's leading the charge on this, is a former Freedom Caucus, well, if he still is, but he used to be, Freedom Caucus member. So what do you think? They need 21, or they can lose 21. Will they have the votes? Paul Ryan keeps boasting that they do have the votes for this bill. Do you think so?
This bill will absolutely not pass. They have the votes. My fear is that they're going, let's say there's 20 problems with this bill and three or four systemic problems, that they're going to pick one or two of the more minor problems as shiny objects and say, all right, we'll get rid of that and fix it. Then they're going to pressure enough people. It's the second round that I fear.
Yeah, well, I guess already the president was meeting. I can't look. I know Ted Cruz and his wife Heidi went to the White House last night for dinner, which I was really glad to hear. I hope they had a very meaningful conversation, but I cannot for the life of me see Ted Cruz backing off on his position on this. Can you?
I really hope not, for the good of the Republic.
I just can't imagine. But we'll see. It'll be a headline if he does, that's for sure. Daniel Horowitz, we're going to put your article on the 20 ideas and also your earlier article, which I believe we've already posted, but we'll repost it, explaining what's wrong with this bill so that people can have something to read and to share. Daniel Horowitz, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. God bless.
Okay, same to you, Daniel. All right, Sandy Rios on a Thursday, and on it goes every day. It's a whirlwind, but I'll be back tomorrow. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.